Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the spiritual information that we need to have in order to develop the capacity that you honor in order to impute blessing. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information is communicated, subsequently be made available for recall and application that we might glorify you. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So in our study of the doctrine of witnessing per Jesus' mandate in Mark 16:15 and Acts 1:8, we're looking at the various doctrines that explain how God saves mankind by faith in Christ alone, so that we're able to respond to those who ask of the hope that lies within us. In our study at the moment, we're studying the doctrine of imputations, because it is through imputation that God condemns everyone at birth so that he can save them when they believe in Jesus Christ at second birth. So the principle here is in Adam all die, 1 Corinthians 15:22. So also in Christ all will be made alive. So he sets us up in condemnation that we don't deserve in order to save us by faith in Christ alone that we don't deserve. So it all comes as a base of God's grace. And that's the important thing we have to understand. It's all about God's grace and what God does, and not about meritorious function before God. That's the big deception. Satan's deception, he takes the system and perverts it. He uses the same verbiage. Basically, he uses the same ideas. But what he does is he makes the natural man, because the natural man does not understand the things of God, the natural man understands a meritorious relationship with God. That was the big problem that the Jews had. The Jews thought, well, if I keep the law and the law is righteous, then I'll be righteous. Well, no, you won't be, because you started out a sinner. See, that was the problem. So, but Satan disregards that, and so people are easily deceived by that. The other factor is that the unbeliever can do it. If an unbeliever can do it, it's not spiritual life. That's a real important concept in this. So what we're going to do now, since we looked at the five of the imputations, there's two more coming that are post-salvation. We're going to discuss them, because just to complete the doctrine, since I haven't ever taught this doctrine before. We've noted that in God's plan there are two judicial imputations and five real imputations, and the judicial imputations include the personal sins to Christ on the cross and the imputation of God's perfect righteousness to the believer at the point of salvation. These two judicial imputations are where the heavy lifting occur. That's the thing we have to understand. A real imputation is easy, because there's capacity in the target. So God's righteousness determines that there's capacity, he imputes to that capacity. That's a piece of cake. The hard ones are when something is going contradictory to what would be normal. And the biggie there, of course, is the cross. That's where his uniquely born son went to the cross, perfect, and received the imputation of the sins of the world. So that was the real heavy lifting. And then because of that, then he's free to convey to each of those who believe his righteousness. So those are the two heavy parts of the heavy lifting. And they're both are judicial. So the real imputations include human soul life and Adam's original sin to the biological formed old sin nature of physical birth, eternal life to the human spirit, and blessings in time to perfect righteousness, and blessings in eternity to the resurrection body. See, you see, you have capacity in each one of these. You have capacity for condemnation in Adam, and then once God has imputed righteousness, then there's capacity for blessing associated with that righteousness. Now, what we're going to see in the post-salvation imputations is it's not good works that's the issue. It's capacity. Now, good works may arise from capacity, but the target is not good works. That's an important distinction. You know, the natural man understands that people are good. Of course, you've got to put that in quotes, because their good is not really good. That's the big problem. Without capacity, what is perceived as good by mankind is not perceived as good by God. Why? Motivation. Motivation is the issue. Capacity creates proper motivation. So what that means is you have enough doctrine in your soul to recognize that you are saved, you're eternally secure in your salvation, you can never lose your salvation, God will never leave you or forsake you. As a result, your motivation, rather than be fear, anxiety, and worry, because you're afraid of God separating himself from you, which he says he won't ever do, is faith, hope, and love. See, so the works are the same. That's the thing. The work of a natural individual minus capacity looks like the work of a spiritual person with capacity. So from the man's perspective, they're pretty much identical. For example, giving to the church, witnessing. All those things can be done in the energy of flesh. But they're not honored by God if you do them that way. God only honors and blesses what's done according to his system of grace. Key word is grace. In other words, if God doesn't do it, it isn't grace. And God does everything for us. In fact, really all we provide in the whole system is positive volition. All along the way. There's no difference between capacity or receiving blessing for escrow blessings, which we'll talk about, and receiving blessing of salvation. No difference. The only difference is the nature of the capacity itself. It's still based on God's word. So doctrine associated with faith in Christ is related to the doctrine related to the person of Christ. Doctrine related to escrow blessings is related to the doctrine associated with the thinking of Christ. You see, so it's all doctrine. So God's word creates capacity. We respond positively, and at some point in time when we're going to see how righteousness, God's righteousness, demands God's justice impute capacity. And that's how you receive escrow blessings. It's not based on doing good. Now, you may do good, that's fine, but that's a detail, and we'll talk about that too. So judicial imputations occur when there is no antecedence or affinity between what is being imputed and the target of the imputation, and real imputations occur when there is antecedence or affinity. So that's the point I was making earlier, when the judicial imputations don't have any, they don't make sense. They're irrational from human perspective. That's how God solved the problem, though. That is the biggie. Those are the biggies. So understanding the process that God uses to save mankind or save us enables us to be secure in our position, and in addition enables us to explain to others what they must do to be saved when we are asked, as Paul and Silas were in Philippi in Acts 16:30-31. See, the errors that believers get caught up in is when they start adding faith, works to faith, because the imputation, they don't understand the imputations. If you don't understand the imputation, the natural thing is to say, well, you're going to do something. Well, no, you're not. Because if you try to do something, it isn't effective. In fact, it takes you away from grace. See, that's the problem. So if you don't understand this doctrine, you will fall for work salvation ideas. And a lot of people do. A lot of believers who once understood or once believed in faith alone, Christ alone, when they see someone who violates what they think is good, doing good, they fail to recognize that that's not the basis of your relationship with Christ. Doing good has nothing to do with it. And I can't emphasize that enough. You're saved on the basis of imputed righteousness at the point of salvation, and you know nothing at that point, doctrinally. You can't do anything good. Now, you may be able to be moral, because morality applies to both the unbeliever and the believer. But the big lie is that the Ten Commandments, or things associated with the law, are related to salvation. They had nothing to do with salvation. See, that was what the Jews tried to do, and that's why the Jews hated Jesus. Jesus told them, your morality isn't cutting it. And they didn't want to hear it. They said, well, we're good. Or we're Abraham's seed. Another falsehood. So they thought they were right good with God because of their pedigree. Not, you see, that's the problem. And so we have to understand that it's not morality. Now, does that mean we're not supposed to be moral? No. We're supposed to be moral. But it doesn't mean we have standing with God if we are. See, that's the thing we have to understand. And amorality does not separate us from God's love in the event that we are saved. That's the flip side of that story. It has nothing to do with morality. Now, morality is beneficial because why? It provides an environment where you can receive doctrine without getting shot at every day. I mean, go have a private barber class on a Saturday night in Chicago in the wrong area. Good luck. Or even in Rochester, New York. You know, with the drive-bys and crap that are going on. A girl gets killed in her own bedroom. You know, it's nuts. So that's amorality, okay, among certain groups of people, because they don't have any orientation to truth. And as a result, you have chaos where there's no potential for, or very little potential for, the dissemination of the gospel. You don't dare go out. You're hiding in your basement because you're afraid you're going to get shot at. So that's where this country's going, because of disorientation to truth. But being saved has nothing to do with that morality. Okay, that's the point. Our ability to communicate, though, is affected, because our ability to talk, to gather together safely You know, if we couldn't gather together safely, we wouldn't gather together. It's that simple. It wouldn't happen. Or we would maybe, you know, in a very, you know, hiding way, like they do in other places, parts of the world, like China and places like that, where it's still legal, actually. Last time we concluded our study on the pre-salvation imputation, so today we'll start with the two post-salvation imputations. The first post-salvation imputation is the imputation of escrow blessings in time to spiritual maturity. Now, this is the escrow that we talk about, and this is where God imputes to capacity. Now, this is righteousness that goes on beyond the imputed perfect righteousness of God, but it's developed from God's Word. So without God's Word, you can't have this, is what it amounts to. So God is the one who does it, and you may or may not do anything with it other than have capacity from the Word of God. Now, if the opportunity presents itself, you may actually do good, in which case it's divine good, because you're doing the right thing in the right way for the right reason. Okay, that's the thing. So passages that refer to this are Ephesians 1:3. It points to Ephesians 1 discusses how God set this whole process up in eternity past. And how he already laid everything up and he made all the initiations necessary. This was part of his deposit, if you will. And so then it just becomes a matter of having the appropriate capacity along the line. And the capacity is faith in Christ alone, having positive listen to the Word of God and God's righteousness determining that positive listen is appropriate to certain blessings as you move along the path. So that's the thing. And as capacity is developed, God imputes his blessing along the way. It's not just one dump. It's not that way. It comes along incrementally. As you have capacity in certain areas of your life, and God determines that is compatible with his holiness, then the imputation occurs. And that's the thing about this, and the thing that's so awesome about this, is that the environment that we live in the devil's world is not a factor, because it's all dependent upon our volition, upon positive listen to God's Word. And the Word of God builds capacity, imputation occurs irrespective of the situation. So that's why you have people like Daniel, who were taken away into slavery, into Chaldea, and then promoted from nowhere to everywhere, you know, because of the fact that he had capacity. Same with Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery, and then at the right time, he was promoted to be second in Egypt. So he had huge prosperity while everyone else is a slave. Okay, or was setting up to be a slave, that kind of thing. So that's the point. So God is not limited by man's circumstance. That's the point. So what we have to do, our attitude has to be that we serve Jesus Christ. And when he gets around, when we have capacity from his doctrine, he's going to impute blessing to us in the spheres that are appropriate. And nothing impedes that. Okay? So if God has something in mind for you, it's coming. Doesn't matter where you are. However the situation, doesn't matter. So 1:3 of Ephesians. For the praise and glorification is God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So this is the preposition of the blessings in Christ in eternity. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, however, it stands written, things the eye has not seen or heard or mind conceived is what God has prepared for those who love him. See, God has a plan for our lives that exceeds even our own wildest imagination. Now, it's not necessarily the things we would normally associate with prosperity necessarily, although it certainly does include some of that, because the world has its own ideas. God is more interested in how we think and having a confident expectation of good from God at all times, no matter what the environment. He's concerned more about how we think and having tranquility of soul and all that stuff rather than driving down the road in some fancy car. You know, that's the point. Now, you may well drive down the road in a fancy car, but that's a detail. But the point is that's not where it's at with God per se. Proverbs 18 says, riches and honor are with me. God, in the context, is wisdom or Bible doctrine, ignoring wealth and prosperity. So what we have here is capacity. And again, capacity can come in multiple facets. Every facet of our relationship with God is a place where we can develop capacity. Divine establishment is an area where you can develop capacity. So what does that mean? Well, you avail yourself of the opportunities that are presented to you to advance your capacity even in the world system. So if you can go to college, you go to college. If you don't go to college, it's not the end of the game because God's going to bless you anyway. It's just a question of when and how you have capacity. You know, so the world system has its way of doing things, which may or may not be the right thing always either. So you just have you don't get upset about the fact that you don't go there. You know, there's other ways of God's not limited by that. That's just a detail. Okay, so but when opportunity presents itself, you always go there. So in other words, that's the point. In other words, you always look for ways to build capacity in whatever sphere. Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do far exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. And of course, that power is what? Bible doctrine. The Holy Spirit leading and guiding us under the Word of God. So God is going to give you the capacity to have discernment in ways that you wouldn't otherwise have it if you have His Word in your thinking. And you're going to, in fact, David says that. He says, I am wiser than the wise people. Not because he was anything great. In fact, when I conclude this, and probably won't get there today, I'm going to talk about white privilege a bit. White privilege is this. And it has, in a sphere that exists in a posterity sense, heritage. Because if you look at where it comes from, it goes back to the map I've been showing. That's basically the capacity map. And it has nothing to do with people being better. It has to do with having positive listening to the Word of God. And then that has a legacy factor that rolls forward. God keeps on rolling it forward and rolling forward. You develop momentum there. And momentum creates opportunity. And so you're in the right position to take advantage of things that others aren't in a position to because of your great-great-granddaddy. Okay, so you receive blessing because God graced him out and it rolls down to you. And so what people that are arrogantly whining about this are rejecting this God system. That's what it amounts to. You know, what they've fallen for Satan's evil jealousy is what it amounts to. You know, that's what they've done. So, and having God, for example, prepositioning our nation on top of huge resources in the sense of energy, and then blowing that off. You know, that's really dumb. You know, that kind of thing. Because what's being rejected is God's grace. And he knows where the nations are going to form and where positive listening is going to be. And he's prepositioning those resources in the places where his people are going to be. So, but that doesn't change the fact that there's some of the worst parts of the world. I mean, we looked at Africa. We saw that it was a void, except for South Africa. And there's huge natural resources there too, but guess what? They're not helping the people at all. Why? Negative volition. That's why. So the same, but in other words, what I'm saying here is you take the attitude of the people here and put them there, and the same thing would happen. The blessing follows capacity. You take those people from over there and move them over here. Well, it was like that, you know, before the WASP showed up. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Before they showed up, they had that here, okay? The technology and stuff that existed at the day, which was pretty simple compared to what we have now, you know, was still way better than what existed over here prior. Why? Capacity. That's why. Okay, so that's getting ahead of myself. These verses show us that the best things that happen to us in this life glorify God. These are the real imputations of greater grace blessings during our life in our unglorified sin nature infused bodies on the earth in time that is based on capacity developed through the perception, metabolization, and application of God's Word that results in spiritual advance. See, the target becomes becomes doctrine. Doctrine as it's developed in the thinking of the believer. That's where it comes from. And so, in essence, blessing from, now this is to say that all blessing, in the final analysis, all blessing comes from God. Because you've got to realize, God provides the resources to Satan as well as his own. Now, Satan can't do anything. He doesn't create anything. All Satan does is manage. And he always manages things from the wrong way. He doesn't create anything out of anything, ever. He just picks the pie, and he sorts out based on his evil ideas how he's going to sort it out. I mean, that's why communism is satanic, or one of the reasons. Because it doesn't add to the pie. It takes the finite pie that's actually diminishing because of negative volition and attempts to lay it out over the people. Of course, the big bosses get most of it because they're in charge. And that's just the way it works. Whereas God, on the other hand, imputes to the individual his positive volition, and the pie grows. So Satan takes what is and divides it. And he's a manager, where God's people are leaders. Big difference, huge difference. And you can see that in a political sense. Managers are losers, and leaders are people who are going to actually do something, maybe. We'll see. So that those kind of, so these, again, the basis for this imputation is the a fortiori we noted earlier. This is the one in Romans 8. If the justice of God provided the greater at salvation, and he did, that is the imputation of God's perfect righteousness. See, this is what enables the whole thing. Apart from that, this place would be cinders. Now, if Jesus didn't go to the cross and successfully take the imputation of judgment of the sins of the world, and as a result of that, believers had not didn't have positive volition. Of course, God knew that they would. But then there would be no reason for this whole thing to exist. It would just smoke. It would be gone. It will be over with. Satan and his angels would already be in the lake of fire, and God would be moving on to something else. Of course, God had a better plan than that, and he understood it from the outset because of omniscience. But at the same time, that imputation of God's perfect righteousness is what provides the blessing that the world needs to continue to survive, which is why once his people are gone out of here, things are going to deteriorate very fast during the tribulation. We don't have a clue how fast it's going to happen. And it's not, we're not going to care because we're busy doing other things, but it's going to happen. Because 7 years, the earth is going to go from a place, well, remember, the tribulation starts with zero believers. Okay, now shortly thereafter, there are believers because of, they look and say, oh, what those people were saying is true. So what they must have been right. So you're going to have people that have doctrine. They're going to say, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, so then we're going to start rolling from that point, of course. So the whole thing is based on the imputation of God's perfect righteousness. It follows, therefore, a fortiori, that the justice of God will not withhold the lesser in spiritual maturity, that is the imputation of blessing in time to perfect righteousness. So you have perfect righteousness that creates a demand on justice of God when capacity is reached. And so that incrementally along your life, as you reach capacities in certain areas of your life, you're going to receive imputation from God that goes beyond the basic package. That's called greater grace, or super grace, or take your pick for words. You can call it capacity grace. You can call it escrow blessing. It doesn't matter what you call it. The all of them are right. Because it's escrow because God laid, we saw, he laid it up in eternity past. It's based on capacity because you now have the righteousness necessary for God to convey that to you because of the word, because of your positive volition to his word. And that's the basis of it. It has nothing to do with works. Zero works involved here. Now again, you may do works, and that's your choice, and ultimately you probably will because you're motivated, and God's working in you to do that. Both to will and to work, you know, Philippians 2:12. This real imputation of escrow blessing and maturity is made possible because of the judicial imputation we have previously noted. An escrow is a deed or a bond. This is a principle, the escrow that you're familiar with. Or other written agreement delivered to a third person to be delivered to the grantee upon the performance of some condition. God the Father, the grantor, deposited in escrow with God the Son, Jesus Christ, greater blessings for time and eternity for every believer. Every believer is a grantee. So every believer is a target for this. Whether they receive it or not is their business. God doesn't violate volition. The condition of the distribution of these blessings is the believer's development of capacity from their execution of God's plan for their life. So capacity comes from doctrine. So basically, as doctrine is removed from the pages of the Bible and put into your soul, into operation. See, doctrine in the pages of the Bible is potential. I mean, if you're familiar with the amps and resistance and volts. Well, volts is a potential. If you have a plug sitting out there, there's 110 volts sitting there. And if you took a piece of wire and stuck it in there, you'd know that pretty soon. Because when you put that piece of wire in there, the resistance is going to drop to the point where you're going to see some amps. And that amps is going to make that wire hot and throw your butt back away from it because it's going to hurt. All right? That's what's going to happen. So you got to have all three to make it play. And power equals volts times amps. So the power the energy has to be moving. So the word on the page or on the computer screen is potential. It's sitting there waiting. When you take it and metabolize it, then it becomes, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then it becomes amps. And that amps creates energy. See? And the R is your resistance or your negative volition or positive volition. That's why when you get a big motor or a big heater or something that hooks into a power system, it takes big wires. Well, the R is low. that means there's no low resistance. Where a small thing, a very little current, takes a little wire. So that your volition is equal to R in that situation. So if you want to have a low R, so you have a high amps, all right, and then God's power is infinite. You know, He just keeps cranking it as long as you're willing to take it. So that's, and you don't burn up in the process. So carbon creates R. So if you get, in other words, you go negative, scar tissue of the soul, you're carboned. In essence, in that analogy, if you want to use that analogy, which is actually a good one. These blessings are distributed in time when the believer attains capacity from spiritual maturity and at the judgment seat of Christ. So what we'll see is there's a correlation, when we get to that one, between the blessings at the judgment seat of Christ and blessings in time. So if a person was negative after salvation in time, what happens at the judgment seat of time, Christ? Smoke. Why? Well, all their works were human good. So they did all this stuff to be seen of men, to be, you know, to have because other people said they should, you know, all this stuff. None of it was because it's the Word of God. None of it was because they had confidence in God. None of it was because they loved God. Well, you didn't do it. You did all this stuff, but you didn't do it right. It's worthless. Smoke. And now that individual is also one who did not receive imputation of greater grace in time. Now, they did receive logistical grace. See, that's guaranteed. See, that's the other thing you get out of this. The imputation of divine righteousness at salvation, when you're a complete idiot regarding God's Word, is what determines the logistical grace package that you're going to receive in time. And that is irrevocable. Okay? Now, you may have some suffering along the way in the form of discipline, but God's still going to provide you with everything you need. Because that is Him, as I said last time, priming the pump. Okay? He's got to get it going because you got nothing. So He primes the pump and that's where it starts. And whether you perform or not, that's your choice. You know, it's there, He's still priming. And He keeps priming. He never stops. Okay? But you can still, people do go negative and they stay negative, especially if they get into the wrong doctrine. They end up doing everything in the wrong way. They don't have a clue. They never have confidence really in God because they never go past faith in Christ because they never develop a relationship with God in the sense that God wants them to because they keep saying no. God keeps saying yes, but they keep saying no. Well, God will until their potential exists until they are taken out with the sin of the death in that case. So let's see here. These blessings are irrevocable because God deposited them into escrow. We talked about that before the foundation of the earth. That's the world. That's Ephesians 1:4a. We saw that. That was the previous verse to the one we just read, or just after, I should say. It's one after, just after. He chose us in Him. Remember, I told you that because of the judicial imputations, there's words related to our identity in Christ all throughout the epistles. And it's in Christ, in Him, you know, that whole, and that's all about what it is that God's free to do for us on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. And the fact that we said yes means we're a partaker of that. So that's what it says here. He chose us in Him. Who? Jesus. Before the foundation of the world. See, that's omniscience, knowing the knowable, recognizing those who would say yes. That we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. And He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ according to the kind intention of His will. So basically, He's the one that laid this whole thing up from eternity. And so all the blessings that He was going to convey are already set aside. See, that's the other thing you got to realize in this package. God, knowing the knowable, set everything up from the outset with everything laid up. And He didn't restrict Himself regarding people with negative volition either. In other words, He gave everybody the opportunity, equal. The challenge is, will you take advantage of it? And God didn't restrict Himself because He knew someone would say no. He doesn't care. Okay? So what that means is, those who are saved, go to heaven, and then have negative volition and time, are going to be able to go look at these blessings that they might have had if they care. Because they were there. They were available. The challenge to them was to have positive volition of the Word of God. And if they didn't, okay, fine. God, again, another principle, I'm going to mention this later, but I'll mention it now. Our unbelief does not change God's faithfulness. Okay? God's faithful no matter what. He's completely independent of us. He does what he wants to do based on his own holiness, and he's going to do it, period, in the story, whether you do it or, like it or not. So it's there, okay? If you choose to take advantage of it, that's your business and you're allowed. If you choose to say no, you're at your business and you're allowed. Okay? And it doesn't any skin off God's nose. He laid it up there, and your negative volition does not change God at all. None. Now, you do reap consequences of negative volition. Yeah, that doesn't go away. But that's only because of you, not because of God. Alright? That's the thing. So, it's always remember that God is always fair, no matter what. Anybody that says that God's unfair doesn't understand God at all. Because God does not shirk his responsibility to anybody, even when they're negative. Because God doesn't care. You see, that's, I mean, he cares in the sense that he would like everybody to come to the up-your-nose of the truth. Okay, you like that. But he's not limited by their negative volition, is the point. So, that's the thing you have to understand. So people accuse God, but that's just arrogance. People don't understand that. They're taking up Satan's cause when they do that. So if these blessings are not conveyed to the believer because of failure to fulfill the condition of the escrow by developing capacity, again, back to the principle of the Word of God in your soul, then escrow remains on deposit forever as a memorial to lost opportunity under the principle of even the wrath of man, negative volition of man will praise God, 76:10 Psalms, and the principle that mankind's negative volition does not cancel God's immutable faithfulness. In the context of this is the Jews. What then if some believe, Romans 3:3, if some did not believe? Does their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? He goes on to say, may it never be. Let God be true and every man a liar. So their allegation that God was unfair is a lie. Now, was there a negative volition that caused them to think this? But God isn't ever going to be unfair. Not going to happen. Cannot happen. It would be contrary to his perfect integrity. See, it always goes back to holiness. His holiness is always what's going on here. And he is always faithful because he's always holy. And for him to deny being faithful, or to not be faithful, would be for him to reject holiness. And he's also an other attribute. I mean, the 10 attributes of God are critical to understanding how this all plays. He's also immutable, which means he doesn't change. So he's perfect holiness, he's perfect righteousness, he's perfect justice, and he's perfect faithfulness. That's just a few of the 10 essence of God components. And so when you understand that, you know that God is always going to come through for you all the time, no matter what. Now, he may well delay sometimes for the purpose of testing your volition, testing your orientation to his grace. And of course, when that happens, you're always going to be blessed as a result of it. So anytime there's a disconnect or apparent disconnect between God and what's happening in time, like right now in certain places. You say, well, how can God, well, we're going to see it in Jeremiah. We're not the only ones that are wondering, why in the world would God let this happen? Well, he's doing that for the purpose of blessing the people who don't go negative in the process. So that is going to accrue to people who remain faithful as huge blessing. It goes beyond what you could imagine. Because God can't be denied. So he's going to reward that with super grace, is what it amounts to. So as a result of the two judicial imputations that provided our eternal salvation, the believer possesses God's perfect righteousness that comprises one half of his integrity. So this becomes the basis. This is position. Remember, when it comes to executing anything successfully, it's all about position. Now, in anything you're doing, I don't care what it is. If you're working at something, you can't do the job unless you're in the right position. I mean, a perfect analogy for this is playing football or something. If the quarterback isn't in the right position, if the linemen aren't in the right position, if the running back isn't in the right position, or the receiver's not in the right position, then it doesn't work. Okay? And why? Well, they crash and burn because they're not in the right position. So it's all about being where? In the right position. Well, it's the same with God. When we're in the right position, it works every time. God is the coach, and in the analogy, you got the football team, the coach has the play drawn up, the people are in the various positions, and if the guys get to the right position, the play works in the story. And there's nothing that stops it. But if somehow the opposing team is able to stop somebody from getting in a position, it don't work. Right, it's that simple. with God, it's exactly the same. The position, the baseline position is the righteousness of God. That sets you up, that sets every believer up with everything that God needs to have in order to completely grace you out beyond your wildest imagination. Now the question becomes, are you going to be in the next position? Doctrine's what gets you there. That's your choice. Are you going to comply with the coach? Yes or no? The Holy Spirit's the coach in this analogy. So the believer's possession of God's righteousness sets up the potential for the conveyance of escrow blessings from God's justice to the other half of God's integrity. So remember, righteousness and justice, what's that? Holiness. What the righteousness demands, the justice of God executes. At the point of salvation, that's the 40 things. After salvation, that's all the other grace gifts that God is free to give us or wants to give us because they have demonstrated we have positive volition. That's it. The imputation of God's perfect righteousness frees God's justice to impute logistical grace blessing, and subsequently, as capacity from Spirit-taught doctrines developed, God's justice is free to convey maturity blessings without compromising His whole perfect holiness. See, the whole issue goes back to God. See, that's why no circumstance in life affects this. In other words, this country goes to crap. It doesn't matter. All right? God's got a plan. It's going to involve this country going to crap and providing you with everything you need in the process. If it doesn't, then God's got a plan for that one too. All right, so both. Remember, when you understand the matrix, God's got both planned. He leaves the room for the failure, and He leaves room for the success. In both cases, the ticket is paid for both cases. So if people want to go negative, they're free to do that. But God is not going to deny His people in the process. It's not dependent upon the environment. Now, the way it works out in your life may be slightly different, but you're not going to not want the same things. It's going to be different, if it's different. You don't know. That's why it's beyond what we can ask or imagine. We have no clue. It will be the best thing that could happen to us based on God's perfect integrity. That's that simple. We trust God in that matter. What perfect righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. Perfect righteousness in us demands that God provide logistical grace that's necessary for the believer to advance to maturity. Like I said, I use that idea of priming the pump on that one. This is God providing you with everything you need and more to have the time and the space and the opportunity to learn His Word, if you choose to. And even if you say no, He keeps providing you with all the things you need to learn His Word. And He'll give you 100 years of this, saying no. And He'll take you home to be with Him when He's done, if you choose to say no, because you have His righteousness. Now there's more to have if you care, but that's your choice. At maturity, perfect righteousness demands additional blessing from God. So, it's a continuum. Greater grace comes to those who have acquired capacity for greater grace. And what is grace? I mean, define grace. Important to understand that. Grace is everything that God is free to do for us on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. Where are we in this picture? We're not. You see, that's the point. It's all about giving us stuff we don't deserve. You know, that goes back to the idea of white privilege. White privilege is God giving to these people stuff they don't deserve because somebody way back yonder has some positive volition to God's doctrine, and that has rolled downhill now onto the people here now, and they're getting all antsy about it, and they feel, you know, that, oh, it's wrong. We shouldn't have this advantage. You know, you idiot. You know, that's what's going on here. They're disorienting to God's grace. They don't understand God's grace. That's a big problem. Nobody's teaching it. Human good production or good deeds never demand anything from God, so it's possible to have capacity blessings conveyed without production because God looks at how we think. Got to go right back to what is God concerned with? What you think. What was the litmus test for David being promoted to king? The Lord looks upon the heart. So Jesse praises a whole bunch of big dudes in front of him. Jesse, whoo, man, he looks hot. Well, he's got to be the one. No. It was a little runt that they didn't even want to have come in to the party because they knew, there's no way, he's not going to be the one. There's just no way. And Samuel says, hey, Jess, what's going on here? We've seen the whole parade here and there ain't nobody. God says he's here. Where's he at? Oh. Well, I do have one other son. He's just a little one. He's youngest. He's out there minding the herds. We didn't think you'd be interested in him. And Samuel says, Well, bring that rump in here. And as soon as he shows up, Samuel says, God says that's him. So nobody thought it was him, but yeah, God says it was him. Why? Capacity. And where did he get capacity? Out of the fields. You see? That was the point. So it's about how you think. David's thinking was right. Now, David had a lot of issues, ultimately. But his thinking was right. And he always was right. I mean, consistently. I mean, he would fail for extended periods of time, of course. But in final analysis, his attitude was what? I have sinned! Alright, he came clean. He always came clean in the final analysis. And that's an important thing. He came clean. What is that? Righteousness tying up with holiness. I have sinned. You're straight with the Word of God. That's what God wants. God wants clarity. He doesn't want any... he doesn't want darkness and garbage and smoke and mirrors and all that crap. He wants clarity. He wants to be able to see right into your thinking and see what's going down here. And he wants it to be clear. He doesn't want to be screwed up with all kinds of garbage. There's no gray areas here. It's black and white. The only reason it's gray is because you throw up a bunch of dirt in order to try to obscure it. You dingbat. So that's what happens. People throw up, oh, it's gray. No, it ain't gray. You think it's gray because you're throwing crap in the air. This is because as a person is the way they think and thought precedes action. Proverbs 23:7. For he thinks of himself, so he is. The first part of that. In the context here is the guy is not liking you, but he's bringing you in to butter you up and then he's going to stab you in the back. That's what the story's about. Okay? So he's setting you up and he's making you look like, oh boy, he's liking me. But in the final analysis, you're dead. Sounds familiar. God's perfect righteousness only demands blessing when circumstances are right. As salvation, circumstances are right for God to convey the 40 grace gifts that are associated with our new identity in Christ and logistical grace support. So that's what starts it up. See, we in spiritual death, we have no capacity whatsoever. So God has to give us everything to start it. That happens when you're born again. So nothing's going on up until that point, really, from God's perspective. Now, people may be happy, and you may be a big man on campus, and people may think you're wonderful and all that crap, but from God's perspective, you're still dead. Not very good, okay? Before God does something. But that was the whole thing we saw in Romans 3. Abraham might have had all this pedigree before people, but before God? Nah, not so much. Why? Well, because it was his faith that was the issue. He believed in God. There we're getting somewhere. Why? The merit resides with God. It's the same with us. It's no different. The merit always resides with God. It's not anything to do with us except positive volition. That's it. And that's non-meritorious. All the way through the process. Non-meritorious. 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 We get no bonuses because we was positive. We were positive and God graces us up because His Word is true. And He's honoring His Word. That's what He's honoring. The Word of God is the issue here. The truth. Thy word is truth. That's what's getting honored. It's God in your thinking that is creating capacity. Nothing else. So production is not is a detail. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. At maturity, circumstances are ripe for the imputation of greater grace or capacity or escrow blessing. God's perfect righteousness does not demand greater grace, blessing from the God's justice, unless the believer has the capacity to receive the blessing. See, God does not convey beyond one's capacity. That's the thing we have to understand. And at the point of salvation, we have capacity for what? Eternal life with God. So we'll be out in the back 40 cutting cotton, you know, if that's all we do. We'll be there, though. And we'll be happy to be there. There'll be no sorrow, no tears, no pain, none of that, okay? Everybody who's failed to take advantage of God's escrow grace is still perfectly happy for the fact that they're there. Capacity is developed as the believer develops the thinking of Christ that is contained in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 2:16b. We have the mind of Christ. See, the thinking of Christ is in the Word. And that's what I was speaking of earlier when I talked about volts. Maximum doctrine resonant in the soul produces both the spiritual growth and capacity that demands greater blessing from God's justice. See, in the final analysis, this is coming to you over the transom. I mean, the way to view this is another good analogy. The fish is jumping into the boat. Literally. That's what's going on. You're out there fishing. You've been busting your butt all day long. And all night long. And for a week. And nothing has happened. And finally you have capacity, so the fish jumps into the boat. That's how it works. That's how God's grace works. The fish jumps into the boat. Well, that's kind of what happened to the disciples. What did they say? I mean, they're out there working their butts off, and Peter says, well, we haven't caught nothing. Jesus says, throw them over there. And now the nets are so heavy they can't drag them in, so they gotta take the boat to shore, get off the boat, and get onto the shore so that they can drag the fish up onto the shore. Now that's a boatload. Actually, that's more than a boatload. That's the definition of my cup overflows. The boat was overflowed with fish. What was that about? Position! They went out there all day long fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Position. It's all about where you put the nets in that case. Because God is holy, He cannot accept anything less than perfect righteousness. And cannot bless anything less than perfect righteousness. God's holiness demands perfection, so all blessing from God is based on what God does, not what we do. See, if you can get that through your head, that will be one of the best things you ever get through your head. It's not based on what we do. It's based on our position. And our position comes from knowing the Word of God. See, that's why the whole idea between this country and the blessings that we have had they don't understand anything about how it works to have any idea, to have the attitudes they have about it. Both those who don't have it that feel envious and those that do have it that feel guilty. The reason they think that way is because they don't understand the process. Now, does their negative volition nullify the faithfulness of God? No! So it keeps pounding in there, even though nobody earned it or deserved it. But great-grandpapa got it. Okay? All we provide is positive volition. And how's that? 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, or as I said last time, allow yourself to be humbled, passive voice, under the mighty hand of God, that's learning doctrine, that He may exalt you in the proper time. How? Why? You have capacity from doctrine. That's, when you say allow yourself to be humbled, that exists in every sphere of life. Positive volition to divine establishment. Positive volition to the police officer. Positive volition to those in authority. Positive volition to the coach. Positive volition to the teacher in school. Positive volition to the system. Positive volition to the parents. Positive volition to every category of authority. Legitimate authority. That's what humble yourselves means, or allow yourself to humble means. And then in the final analysis, positive volition to the Word of God, which includes all that. You see. That's where it comes from. Positive volition. Non-meritorious positive volition at that. You submit to the process. That's it. You submit to the process. The invitation of God's perfect righteousness and salvation is the sine qua non for the conveyance of any grace blessing from God's justice regardless of the category. Sine qua non means that without which it can't happen. In other words, it's an absolute essential component. It does not exist. What God's perfect righteousness rejects, God's justice condemns. What God's perfect righteousness demands, God's justice provides. What God's perfect righteousness approves, God's justice blesses. So basically, as I said last time, I think, you become a target for God's blessing because of the capacity in your soul. And God's targeting that continuously. He's doing a readout on believers every day according to Revelation. And that readout determines who's going to get the target, who we're going to target today. That's basically what's going on. The invitation of God's perfect righteousness is salvation. It's called justification. That's our positional reality in Christ. Justification means that God sees His own perfect righteousness that He imputed to us and justifies us because we possess it, even though we don't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died as our substitute. While we were yet sinners, we received the righteousness of God. All we did was believe. We're still sinners. Sin-infused old sin nature proclivity towards personal sin, all that up and running full blast, and we're perfect before God. Totally undeserved. Deserving's got nothing to do with it. And that's another thing people don't understand. Deserving's got nothing to do with it. The judicial imputation of God's perfect righteousness of salvation is the basis for potential for conveyance of blessing from God's justice while we live on the earth during our life in the devil's world in sin-infused bodies. See, what happens is God actually set this thing up in such a manner as we're completely behind the eight ball. Every potential weakness and inability that can be established is established. And then God turns the curse into a blessing. He sets everything up upside down. He puts us in a status of condemnation with a sin nature infused body. And we're not only that, we're in the devil's world. He's running the show. His enemy. God's enemy's running the show. And God comes through that whole thing with his grace system and trumps it. Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the ultimate trump card. Boom. When that card was laid, it was over. All over but the crying. Because it was tetelestai. Tetelestai. It was done, finished, all over. Now, we're still cranking out details, but yeah, it's still, that's just the crying. As the case may be. In some cases, it's lapsing. The potential established by God's imputed righteousness plus the capacity from God's word is in the soul equals the reality of escrow blessings in time. And this is explained in Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom, positive vision of God consciousness and gospel hearing, and God's perfect righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Now, whose righteousness is in view here? Not ours. See? If you're not careful reading this, you're going to think, oh, and righteousness. No. Whose? Not your righteousness. God's. This is an imputation verse. And once that imputation has occurred, what? All these things will be added to you. Everything that you wanted. Everything that you need. Actually, everything that you needed. Not necessarily, if not everything you wanted from the devil's point of view, because that's what you're thinking like. But, you know, from God's point of view, when you have capacity, everything you wanted. In Psalms 23, verses 3 to 6, this is the shepherd's psalm. David describes the imputation of blessing, special blessing with the words, "You have prepared before me a table in the presence of my enemies." Well, that's our status quo. Devil's world. Our greatest enemy runs the show. He's the boss. Okay, and those he puts in power typically are just like him. They're copies. So don't be surprised that things don't go the way you think they ought to. And God's going to turn the curse into a blessing in his time. "You have anointed my head with oil." That's an Old Testament concept of grace. Verse 6, "My cup is overflowing." So the grace exceeds his capacity. "Well, only prosperity and grace pursue me all the days." And there's this important concept there. The word that says "follow me" in the New American Standard, that's not active enough. The word is pursue. Chases you down. God's grace hunts you down, is what is going on here. "All the days of my life. And I shall remain in the house of the Lord forever." Eternal blessings. Of course, house of the Lord, what is that? Doctrine! That's where the capacity is being developed. So these overflowing blessings are the all things of Romans 8:28 and 32, where it says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose." In 32, why? "Because he did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. How now will he not also with him freely give us all things?" See, that goes to the a fortiori. That's the a fortiori I've been mentioning. Since Jesus solved the problem, since God solved the problem in Jesus, and he went to the cross, and received that judicial imputation. Now, God's free in his holiness. You know, people talk about God's love. You know, I have a problem with love. I mean, I understand love. Because in my view, love is integrity. But most people have no clue about love. They think love is sentimentality. In fact, most people say love, I think it in, you're just sentimental. You have a relationship with someone and you want the right thing, you want them to have good things happen to them, but you're not so concerned about their integrity. You just want good things to happen to them. No, that's not God. So my favorite concept of God is holiness. Now, love is a component of holiness. Righteousness, justice, and love. But love is subservient to righteousness and justice. Because it's integrity. And there is no negotiation here, baby. It's God is love in the sense that his perfect integrity is going to roll out the absolute best, which means what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the best. So we, while we were his enemy, he died for us. Now that's love. That isn't sentimentality. See, that's the real definition of love. And unfortunately, in our world today, love is completely misunderstood. People don't have a clue about what it means. So when the Bible says it, they'll parrot it, but they impute their own ideas to it. And it's all garbage. It's power, more powerful than that. When you're protected by the power of God, it's not some vacillating concept of sentimentality. It's immutability. God is not God if he's not protecting you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Okay? So he can't deny himself. Immutability. So that's the idea we got to have from this whole thing. And when you view God's love, you got to view it in the sense that it's here's something that God is pouring onto me because of him, not because of me. Now, what enabled that channel, of course, was the righteousness of God that we received as a point of salvation. That's why God isn't contradicted in the process, and that's why he's not turned into a sinner himself by loving us in this way that he does. See, that judicial had to occur. That's why you have to understand the process, because that's the only way he could maintain his integrity while simultaneously having a relationship with us. And we're going to get to reconciliation here eventually in our study. You know, how is God reconciled to us as sinners without himself becoming a sinner? That's the big question. Well, we've talked about it, the imputation. So the categories of escrow or blessing are only distributed to believers who have developed the capacity from the perception metabolization of God's word sufficient to warrant God's perfect righteousness, demanding from them from God's perfect justice. And we must never forget the capacity is not human good, not human good works that cause God's imputed righteousness to place demands on blessing, on God's perfect justice, because every blessing from God comes through the encapsulated grace pipeline that is managed exclusively by God's holiness. You see, the pipeline that's established, we talk about the grace pipeline, is established on the basis of his integrity. And if you've ever seen that picture in the book, it's in both the Christian Integrity book of Colonel Seaman, it's in the Integrity of God book. That pipeline is an encapsulated pipeline, which means nothing affects it. It's a laser beam between God's justice and the righteousness he gave you, and nothing can penetrate that. No human good, no nothing. Nothing you do. It's all about what God did. So with that note, we'll close here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to advance in the grace and knowledge of our Lord by understanding the process that you use to save us and as salvation, as well as to bless us after salvation. Help us to realize that it's all a function of your grace and integrity and your provision and not because of us. It's because of what you impute to us that enables it all to happen. And we have no deserving related to it. It's not related to deserving, it's related to position. And you established that position based on your perfect integrity and your love, made possible by Jesus Christ. So help us to recall and apply this as the challenges to it arise in our lives, so that we might never be turned away from the cognizance and confidence in your faithfulness for us. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.